Coming to you from Rockingham, IPL Radio.
Hi, you're listening to IPL Radio, and it's Mish from Good Vibrations here in our podcast room. And I have Chloe with me. Hi, Chloe.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in. You're in here today because you want to talk about your bipolar journey. Now, I spoke to you before, and you indicated that you don't want to be defined by the title of bipolar.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, I had an epiphany.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, one day.
Yeah.
I realized that I'm not the girl that has suffered throughout her bipolar journey.
Yeah.
I'm not that girl that felt guilty for all the bad stuff she's done in her bipolar year.
Yeah.
I'm the girl that tries really hard at school, at work, and anything I do, I'm that girl.
Good for you. Good for you. That's awesome, because we are very much looked at by people by the title that we're given. Like, for example, I have anxiety and depression, and I went through the same situation. I always was talking to people that I have depression and I have anxiety, but I was giving myself a title. I'm not that person.
No.
So same as you.
Yeah.
Why are people looking at you? When, as soon as you say, oh, I'm bipolar, they look at you in a different way.
Yeah, but the thing is, you shouldn't be saying I'm bipolar. You just should be saying I have bipolar.
Okay.
I have bipolar and I'm medicated.
That's
really important to say. Because I truly believe that anyone that got bipolar has to be medicated.
Okay. Can you explain to me, I don't know a lot about bipolar, can you explain to me from your point of view what bipolar is to you?
Bipolar is the uncertainty of the emotions that will be felt on the day.
Is that the same as anxiety?
No. For example, if I went to work, I would be consistent with my work.
Yeah.
Like each day I would know that I can do a certain amount of work each day.
Yeah.
But with bipolar people, they will feel like it one day and they would totally trash it the next day.
Oh, okay.
You know?
So there's no consistency.
There's no consistency how you would feel on that day every day.
Okay. Can we, if it's okay for you, and if there's anything that I ask you you're not comfortable with, you let me know, right?
Yeah.
Can we go back to the beginning of your story?
Yeah.
How did this start for you?
It started when I lost my mum to lung cancer.
Okay.
I was closed off to the world for a long time.
How old were you then?
13.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So it's a very difficult teenage years for you.
Yes, very.
Okay. So you closed off from the world. Did you react to the world in a different way? Were you aggressive or did you just go within and just completely shut down?
I was unaware.
Mm. Ah.
I was unaware of a lot of things I was doing.
Okay.
Because I was unaware of situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So bipolar is a medical condition, psychological medical condition.
Yeah.
And it can snap and come at any time? Is that what you're saying? Or is it something that you're born with and it just progresses? Or how does it evolve?
You get manic and depressive episodes.
Uh-huh.
Like, for example, for me, when I am not on medication and I get really sick, I go in a euphoria.
Okay.
Like, and the euphoria means that you're spending a lot of money.
Okay.
You're trotting from one destination to another, mm-hmm, with no shoes.
Oh, really?
You're being promiscuous.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was that happening to you as a teenager?
No, this happened to me in my 20s.
Okay.
No one cared about me enough to say, hey, Chloe, look, you're getting ill. Please go to the hospital.
Okay, so no one recognized the changes in you at that time.
No, no one cared enough to do so.
You're saying that no one cared enough, which I find... Is that an honest opinion? Like, didn't you not have you had a father figure?
Yeah.
Your brothers and sisters?
They couldn't control me.
So they must have cared but weren't able to understand.
Yeah.
How to relate to you at that time.
Yeah.
They cared enough. Surely they cared, but they just didn't quite understand how to relate.
Yeah.
So you were off the rails?
Off the rails.
Okay. And looking back now as an adult, it was reckless? You were being reckless?
Yeah.
Couldn't you just say you were just having fun as a young person? But it was more than that, right?
I didn't harm anybody.
Mm. Just yourself, maybe? Disrespect yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So you're disrespecting yourself. How does that differ as a 13, 14, 15, 16 year old, whatever age you were, how does that differ from being bipolar to being just a reckless teenager? What's the differences between those two things?
I don't really understand your question, but if I was medicated throughout my bipolar,
yeah,
I would be looking at working, looking at studying,
okay,
doing things that are beneficial for me.
Okay.
You know, and whereas I wasn't on medication and I had bipolar, I wasted 10 years of my life.
Okay, gotcha. So you didn't harm anyone in any way. You, as you said, you probably disrespected yourself as the only person that you hurt, right?
Yeah.
Or your family, immediate family around you, because
as a teenager,
you tend to be quite aggressive to the people that you love or the closest to you.
Yeah.
And that pushes people away. How has that changed your relationship? Let's go to your father. How has that changed your relationship between your father as a teenager to now as an adult? Are you close to your father?
Yes, I understand that question. As a teenager, I was very I always bitched about my father.
Uh-huh.
But when I grew up and then back on medication,
mm-hmm,
I learned to keep him close.
Yep.
Like, you know what they say, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer.
Yeah, I believe that 100%.
Yeah, so that's what I learned to do. That's a skill. And I'm not a big fan of his, I have to say. But I've learned that skill so I can
manage a some sort of relationship with him.
Yeah.
Does he understand your illness?
Yes, he does.
And he wants to understand your illness?
No, he just understands it.
Okay. From an Asian background, you're from an Asian background.
Yeah.
What area are you from? Where were you born?
Malaysia.
Oh, yeah, Malaysia. Okay, so your father's obviously Malaysian?
Malaysian.
Is there a cultural thing when it comes to psychological illnesses? Do they want to understand, or is it something that they want to hide under the carpet type thing?
If you were in Malaysia and you suffered from bipolar,
yeah,
first of all, they would throw you in a...
really?
Sell and throw away the key.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's a very, very much a hush-hush thing.
No, that you get treated like shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Did that happen to you at all? Have you been institutionalized? Can I ask that?
Yes, I have.
Many times? In Australia?
In Australia.
And overseas?
No.
Not overseas, in Australia.
Yeah.
Were you, again, if I ask anything you're uncomfortable with, please tell me no. Were you institutionalized on your own merit, or did someone encourage it?
People had run. I think my brother had run the police.
Okay.
to the mental hospital
yep.
to come and get me, and they would come in police cars.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's so dehumanizing.
That's terrible.
But I've been sat in the back of a police car several times.
No way.
Yeah.
That's disgraceful.
They wouldn't bring an ambulance, just a police car.
Why? That doesn't seem right. That dehumanizing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's awful. Can you imagine being at your worst point in your life and a policeman coming to pick you up and throwing you in the back of a car, police car?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Thanks very much for your help.
Yeah.
That's terrible. How did you go with medical assistance when you were... Is that the right word to use, institutionalized? Is it... I don't know anything about anything like that, so I'm sorry if I sound non-intellectual, whatever the word is about it, because I don't know anything about it. But from what I understand and what I've seen is they usually will take you away for 3 days, make sure you're on your medication, and throw you back home.
Yeah.
Is that something that happens, or do they really do put you in for some time?
No, if you're a public nuisance, they keep you... They keep you in longer.
How long have you been in for?
A month.
Oh, really? So you were a nuisance?
No, I was homeless too.
Oh, were you? Oh, okay, sorry. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you find that you got the help that you needed when you were there?
Yes. They gave me a house.
Right.
A room one day.
Yeah.
So they were very supportive of my recovery.
Great.
So I've been very lucky.
Yeah.
Like, they like me, you know?
Yeah.
In the mental hospital.
Okay.
And they want to help me.
Oh, that's their job to do that, right? That's their job to do that, to support you in any way possible to get you through to your next part of your journey.
Yeah.
So obviously medication comes into it when you're in there. Social support will come into it. Do you have group therapies and all that sort of thing?
Yeah.
How do you find that?
Boring.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you open up?
No.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's all very well going, but are they really going to help you? I've been in a group therapy once before, and from my point of view, I don't open up, so what's the point? I would much prefer to be on a one-on-one situation, and it also comes down to the fact that do you trust that person you're talking to?
Yeah, I mean, you're in a mental hospital. Mm. Obviously, all these people will have mental issues. Yeah. Now, why would you open up?
Yeah, because you don't know how they're going to react or use the information you told them. You know,
so it's so inconvenient.
Yeah, so probably the group therapy is a total waste of time, and they should shut that down. Yeah, they should ask people that are in there what are their thoughts on that, because the medical facilities tend to have policies on how they do things, but they're not necessarily going to be working.
No.
So they should ask, really.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they? Can I ask? When you were a teenager, you were living at home with Dad.
Yep.
Did you go home every day?
Yes.
So you did go home every day. So they never had the problem of worrying about where you were?
No.
Okay, so you did go home. So you're a good girl doing that every day. That's good. Can I ask, was there drugs involved?
No.
No drugs? Good. That's awesome.
Alcohol.
Okay, alcohol. At the age of 13 or not?
Yeah.
13?
Not me though, my dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not me. I don't drink.
Oh, so alcohol's not involved for you?
No,
this is my for your dad. Father.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So there's no drugs or alcohol for you?
No.
Just being maybe promiscuous?
Yeah. No, not even then.
Oh.
No, not till I'm 17.
Okay, all right. So what were you doing at the age of 13, 14, 15?
Going
as a bipolar child?
Going to school and coming home.
Where did the bipolar come in there, though?
In my late 20s.
Oh, I see. Okay. So as you became an adult and you had the freedom to be an adult, this is where things then changed for you.
Yeah.
Again, drugs and alcohol? at that age? No.
No.
Never have been?
No.
Not really permitted. But, okay. So as a young adult.
Yeah.
You were, so you finished school.
Yep.
And you started work.
I did part-time work.
Okay.
Like hospitality and stuff.
Didn't you study?
I did.
Yeah,
you did. I studied 4 years in uni.
Wow. See, that's huge. Were you medicated then?
No.
You weren't medicated and you studied for 4 years.
Yeah.
How did you get through that?
I got bipolar in my mid-20s.
Ah, okay.
And then by the time I finished all my studies, which I never graduated, okay. But then my bipolar came along.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. I thought I misunderstood. I thought you said you got your bipolar at 13 when your mother died.
No. When my mum dying was contributed to my bipolar.
Okay, got it. But it got full blown in your late 20s.
Mid 20s.
Full blown mid 20s. What does full blown mid 20s for you? What was that like?
I can play music for hours just lying there.
All right.
Just lying on the couch.
Yeah. Is your mind blank?
Yes.
Mind completely blank. Are you actually listening to the music or is actually nothing there?
No, I'm listening to the music.
So you're listening to the music. What music are you listening to?
Just Rihanna.
Really? You could have found something better than that.
Ian Bandal.
Okay. So listening to music. And so did that settle you, relax you?
Yeah, I fell asleep.
Okay, so you fell asleep from the music. So you weren't able to function on a day-to-day basis due to your bipolar.
Yeah.
When did you find out that this is what was going on and you needed assistance? What happened? What happened the day that you figured out that you needed assistance, or did someone figure that out for you?
My friend took me to the doctors.
Uh-huh.
And the doctor said that you better take her to the mental hospital if she's not, before it's too late.
Oh, wow. That's pretty extreme.
Yeah, it was getting too late.
What did your friend see in you that felt that she needed to take you to the doctor?
I had all this disruptive behavior.
Were you ever physically was there any self-harm at all?
Sorry?
Self-harm. Was there any self-harm?
That.
Any... Bless you. Bless you. Was there any suicidal tendencies?
I would never have gone through with it.
But you had thoughts.
I had thoughts, yeah.
Did you have thoughts because you've just mentioned that you would never go through it. Why were the thoughts there? Because you were had enough of what was going on in your life?
I felt a lot of grief for the passing of my mom.
Okay, got it. That's a good answer. Have you had assistance with the grieving for your mum up until now?
Not really, no.
No counselling at all?
Yes, I kind of got over it because it's been a long time already.
I don't think you ever get over that though. It's always going to be there. You can carry on with your life.
And well, I still tear up.
Yeah.
I still have emotion when I see someone else die or on the TV or something. Like, I still tear up. That's my grief. But I don't. Like sometimes when I think about her, I don't always cry anymore.
Okay. Do you feel like you've missed out a lot not having? Did you have another mother figure there?
No.
Not at all. No aunties. No nothing.
No.
And at 13 is a very difficult age for a child, for a girl to be going through. You've got a sister, haven't you? Have you got a sister?
No.
No sisters.
No sisters.
So how did you go through puberty? With no female figure friends, I
remember one of my friends telling me about tampons.
Wow. That's a hard time for a young girl. Really hard time for a young girl. And at that time as well, your emotions and your hormones are just all over the place.
Yeah.
So that would have been a really difficult time. So your friend took you to the doctor. The doctor suggested that you go to emergency or to a mental health institution as soon as possible. What happened at that point? Did she take you?
I can't really remember.
Okay, can't remember.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. So let's say that she did. Hopefully that she would have done that. I'm sure she probably did. And they would have, you would have started your medication.
Yeah.
So you started medication around mid-20s?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, mid-20s. How did the change in your life happen from being at a point where the doctor's saying, hey, look, you know, you really need to get into mental health facility before it's too late, which is pretty aggressive, to going on to medication? How did it change your life?
At that point of time, I still didn't believe that I had I was diagnosed with schizophrenia uh-huh. first. At that point of time, I refused to believe I had schizophrenia.
Okay.
So I did not take my medication religiously.
Okay. And that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's a really bad thing. Because I know with my medication for depression and anxiety, if I miss anything, it's a spiral. You go up, it's up and down. It's like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Your body has no idea what's going on. So how long did it take you to figure out, hang on a minute, I really do need to do something about this? How long were you?
Maybe after I met my partner.
So that's quite how long the time there? So let's say,
6 years.
Wow. That's a lot. So you were on this roller coaster of meds, no meds for 6 years. That would have been hard in itself.
Yeah.
So then you met your partner. How did he change your life?
Well, I respected him.
Did he confirm to you that you needed medication? Did he support you with that?
He did. He did support me with it.
Yeah. So did he say to you, look, I think you really do need to take medication. At what point did you say, yes, I do need to start taking medication every day?
When I got pregnant.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you've gone, shit, I'm going to have a baby. I need to sort my crap out. I better start taking my meds. So did you then realise that you had an issue? Did it become real?
No, because after I had a baby, I stopped my meds because I wanted to see if I really had bipolar or not.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
And I crashed and burned.
Oh, wow.
And then from then on, I took my meds religiously. Okay.
So you needed to have that absolute, complete crash and burn, as you say. To be able to go, hang on a minute, I think I do need to do something about this. It's funny how that happens, though, because a lot of things in people's lives, they have to go to the absolute worst situation before they can figure out that they need to do something about it.
Yeah.
So what age are you now, 30? Not now, I mean when you had your child.
The
31. Gosh, so you've gone all the way up to 31 thinking that, there's nothing wrong with me, I don't really need any help, to crashing and burning and going, shit, I do need something and I do need the help. So then you've asked for assistance, you've asked for help, they've given you your medication, you've started taking medication on a day-to-day basis, and you've done that now up until now, or have you had any more times that you've gone, I don't think I need it?
No, I've been sober for 5-6 years now.
Okay. All right, so you've been for 5-6 years. So
2020
was what?
When I started taking my medication religiously.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so even when you had the child, you didn't take the medication religiously.
I didn't take my medication because it interfered with being pregnant.
Fair enough. And breastfeeding. Did you breastfeed?
Briefly.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, all these things go through your head when you're pregnant. I shouldn't be taking anything. bad, right? I mean, that's understandable. We'd all feel the same way. So 2020 is when you started, your life started again, pretty much.
Yes.
You became the person that you should be.
Yeah.
And that came with the medication.
Yeah.
How did life change for you at that moment?
When?
From 2020.
I'm more aware.
Okay.
I'm more responsible.
Yeah.
Organized.
Yeah.
I have friends.
Terrific. So you can hold friends before that?
No.
What happened to the girl that, or the woman that helped you out taking to the doctors in the first place? Are you just friends with her?
No.
Oh, what a shame.
There was a whole bunch of them. They cut me off.
Oh, really?
But it doesn't matter because someone said to me that if they're your friend, they'll always be your friend.
Correct, yeah.
It doesn't matter what you've got, what happened,
yes.
You know. So they weren't my friends.
They weren't
the
real
first,
friends. They weren't real friends. No. No, they weren't real friends.
So I'm not cut up.
That's good. That's good. She was there at the time when you needed her.
Yeah.
She did what she needed at the time, and now your journey's moved on, and you don't need them anymore.
No.
So you've got your partner, and I know that you recently got married. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
That's amazing. How did it all go?
Yeah, everything went well.
The weather was good?
Yes. It was just a day before it was raining.
Oh, that would have been a worry.
Yeah.
That would have been a worry. So that was literally September, right?
Yeah, September 25th.
Wow, that's great. Do you feel, since you've been taking your medication and you're becoming the person that you need to be, do you feel like you've, it's almost like you've been rebirthed?
Yes.
Into what the person that you should have been?
But now I feel like an old lady.
Don't we all?
Like, seriously.
But it's not too late, though. I mean, you've been to university.
Yeah.
I know you didn't finish. Do you want to finish?
The illness has taken a toll on my ability.
Okay. That's fine.
Like, for example, concentration skills, memory skills, and all.
That's okay. Yeah, that's understandable.
That's it's taken a toll.
And
on
you've come to the recognition that you won't be able to complete that.
Yeah.
And that's okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. With work, because obviously when you're medicated, but does that you're on medication, the medication's helping you with your organisational skills, being committed to things. Can you work?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm slack or anything,
mm-hmm.
but it's to do with the bipolar. I can't offer consistency.
Even with the medication?
Even with the medication.
Is that just your mind telling you that? Have you tried?
No, I observe myself at home.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, that's fine.
There's days where I'm really into housework and then there's days that I'm not.
That's normal. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I totally understand with you there. So from what you've seen in yourself, which is great because you're looking outside the box and you're aware of yourself, that you can't hold a job and be committed to a job, even though you're a really hard worker and you know you can do it.
Yeah.
You don't think you can commit to the job, and that in that way you feel that you're not going to fulfill that position the way that you would like to fulfill it.
Yeah.
Right?
The thing is, what I find hard about it is what job?
Okay.
You know, office, too boring.
Yeah.
Hospitality.
Hard work.
Too quick on your feet.
Yeah.
I'm slow.
Yep.
I can't keep up.
Yep.
So what work?
So what work? Yeah.
Yeah, like there's that question as well.
Can you work from home?
I can. But those positions are hard to come by.
Are they? You need to find out your own, you need to start your own little business in some way, because that way you can work on it the times that you're clear in your head, and you can work, and then you can go and have a rest when you need to have a rest.
Yeah.
You need to find something that you can work in your time,
yeah,
not in somebody else's time.
Yeah.
That's the hard part though, isn't it, trying to find out what that is.
Yeah.
Going back to your bipolar story, have you discussed your story ever before?
No.
Apart from counselling?
No.
What made you come in and do it today?
I just want to tell my story. I don't know, I like the idea and I thought, oh, let's do it.
Do you think it's therapeutic for you in any way?
Well, when I was in Victoria, I participated in a play called Listening to Voices.
Oh yeah.
Have you heard of that?
No.
Well, it's about play about mental illness.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I played the bipolar, and then Ben played the schizophrenic. Kelly and Sarah played the
sociopath.
No. Disassociative.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we all play, and I've always liked to be famous.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Careful what you ask for. I wouldn't want to be famous. No.
I like the limelight.
Okay, fair enough. So you think that, so not only are you talking about your story today, but you're hoping that you would get, but then we should have videoed it, shouldn't we?
Video? No.
We should have videoed it if you want to put your face out there.
I'm not dressed up today.
Yeah. Well, I think it's extremely courageous for you to come in and do that, because for some people it's really difficult to open up. So thank you for doing that. I'm glad that life for you is becoming somewhat normal, or your normal.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. You know, whatever your normal is,
yeah,
is the way you've got to live your life. Don't live your life in what everybody else thinks you should be doing.
Yeah.
I also think you should be finding a little bit of a niche in a job that you could be doing. Have you tried podcasting at home about your story? Maybe you could podcast at home and talk to people, because other people can relate to you.
Yeah. No, that's your
thing.
Job.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Yeah. I know it's hard. It's very hard talking to no one. It's easier for me to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
If I was in here talking on my own, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
So I think I think you're right there.
Yeah.
Have you, so life today is you've got your two beautiful children.
Yeah.
Which takes up a huge amount of time, as I know.
Yeah.
Having kids is a big job. You've got your new husband.
Yeah.
And a married life.
Yeah.
How's your day-to-day life? Are you much of a socializer?
No, I'm not.
Do you want to change that?
It's quite complicated.
I know.
Like,
people are hard.
Yeah.
People are hard work. Judgment's hard work.
Yeah.
Do you get scared of being judged?
No, not really.
Good. That's good. You don't care what people think of you?
No.
Good. That's good. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
Because people are terrible with judgment.
Yeah.
It's a terrible human trait. I know from my point of view, being around people, I don't like being around a lot of people that I don't know.
Yeah.
And my anxiety kicks in, and I find I'm being judged. I do care about what people think.
Do you?
That's the difference. Yeah. So if I meet,
I care about them.
Okay, but you don't understand? Know if you don't know who they are.
If I don't know who they are, I don't care that much.
That makes sense. I'm the opposite. I care about whoever is looking at me. I don't care whether I know them or not. And that's ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous.
Oh, Michi.
I know. But I can't help it.
That's like the biggest waste of time.
I know. Tell me about it. It's hard. It takes a lot of energy as well.
Yeah.
A lot of energy. I'm trying to be better at that. I am trying to be better at that. And I think that comes with age as well. You get to a point.
Or self-esteem.
Oh, I don't have any of that.
Really?
Yeah. No. Oh, same, I never have. Never have.
Oh. How can you do this
job? I don't know.
You can do this job and you can have some sort of self-esteem.
Because because of my past history of mental health with my depression and my anxiety, my past history with people in my life who have suicided, I feel my job is to get the word out there. I want people to understand that it's okay to talk about mental health.
Yeah.
And everyone's journey is completely different.
Yeah.
And I want people to be able to not be scared about opening up. I just feel this is my calling.
Yeah.
I really do. I really feel like I'm meant to be doing this.
Yeah.
But if I had to go out and talk to a group of people that I don't know, even coming in here this morning, because I know you on a personal level before you come in, I was really nervous about you and I sitting together. But in the end, it's all about getting your story out.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that people can share their stories, because even if there's one person out there who can relate to your story, it might help them in whatever way it may be.
Yeah.
I just think it's needed to be. We all talk about titles and like, you know, bipolar and depression, but it's more than that. We're more than that.
Yes.
We're not defined by that. And that's what we're here. That's what you're here for.
That's what I'm here
exactly.
for.
Exactly.
I'm not that girl.
You're a mother. You're a female. You're a human. You know, you're a wife. It's not about the titles that people give you.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you've come in and realised that, whenever that was, that you are more than that title. We are human. We are all different in multitudes of ways.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It is okay.
Because if we were the same, how boring would that be?
Yeah.
We are unique because of our individuality. And I think we should praise and celebrate people's individualities and uniquenesses. And I find that I am unique because of my imperfections.
Mm.
And that's okay.
Yeah, it is fine.
It's fine. So is there anything else you want to bring up before we finish? Is there something else that you wanted to, that we haven't gone over, that you wanted to bring up while you're here? Did we cover what you wanted to cover?
I just want to say to all those friends that left me in my bipolar years, if you ever want to come back into my life, I welcome it. Okay? And but if you don't, it's okay too. You know, I don't mind.
Mm.
And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Good for you. Chloe, I really appreciate you coming in. Great, very courageous. Thank you so much for sharing your story. If you ever want to come back again, the door's always open here at IPL Radio.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you know much about IPL Radio, but we're all about mental health here.
Yeah.
We're all volunteers, every single one of us here. There's always an opening if you ever want to come and get involved.
Okay.
You could be part of the radio.
Oh.
There's always something to do. You could do editing. So cool. You could do editing. There's always something to do. We're all volunteers here. We're all we call it the IPL family, because we've all got our uniquenesses. We've all got our stories, but we don't care. We're all here because we want to be here and we're comfortable here.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I might take you up on
so
that.
So if you ever want to come in, that door's always open. And there's always a couch there and a coffee on. IPL stands for Inspiring Passionate Lives. And we're all here because we want to inspire ourselves and others.
Yeah.
So if you ever want to get behind the radio, play some music, it's great fun. I love it. I absolutely love it. So again, thank you so much for coming in, Chloe. We're going to leave it there. Thank you all for listening, everybody on the podcast here at IPL Radio. You've been listening to Mish on Good Vibrations. Have a great day and keep smiling.
Coming to you from Rockingham, IPL Radio.